Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee kerup, guten tak, ciao, wee vi, va ket bang, jai janendra, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Killitary Industrial Corporation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and for the next hour, your radio, your computer, your iPod, your smartphone, the metallic dental work in your mouth that picks up radio signals, will be veganized for your protection. And we ask that you go vegan and veganize your life for the protection of Mother Earth, the animals, your children. If you are still eating flesh, and you're still consuming bovine mammary secretions and the vaginal embryonic excretions of birds, well, welcome to rehab. This is the program to deprogram that weird cult, sometimes known as meat eaters, that to this very day eats the body parts of the fleshy, bloody remains of ritualistic animal sacrifice. Perhaps you know some of these primitive beings. I've located a number of them on the Occupy Portland Facebook page, where I have been posting frequently, much to the dismay of many of the Occupy Portland Facebookies there. You know, I see somebody write, this is a political site, so take your food choice issues elsewhere. That, of course, from someone still brainwashed by the propaganda of the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death. Someone who gets his political information from Ronald McDonald. This is a political site, yes? Is that what you're saying? Well, food issues are totally political, so please take closed-mindedness elsewhere. Plus, anyway, I'm very happy to say that my posting was liked by Occupy Wall Street itself. Can you believe that? What an honor. That's like the equivalent of the promoters of Woodstock waving you in for free as a VIP, you know, going back to my early days as a peace activist. Wait a second, the promoter of Woodstock did wave everyone in for free, huh? I was one of the only ones to buy a ticket, $7.50. That was a fortune in those days, and that's a fortune these days. but where is that ticket now, huh? It would be worth a fortune if I held onto that ticket. Where did I misplace it? You know, I just have this this feeling that when Mitt Romney reveals his tax forms, it'll be like, well, Mitt began amassing his fortune after cashing in an original collector's item Woodstock ticket found in a closet in a San Antonio apartment. That's the last time I remember seeing it, when I was program director of Star 106 in San Antonio years ago. So Occupy Wall Street liked my post regarding, it said, support Chris Hedges' lawsuit against Obama's outrageous new law allowing indefinite military detention of U.S. citizens. Nonviolent animal rights activists are already labeled terrorists by the unconstitutional new law, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, written by evil, greedy corporations that terrorize animals. They do have vegan food in military detention prisons, don't they? Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the radio show that is itself a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. wants you to know if you have listened to any programs in the past 11 years, archived at goveganradio.com. Please frisk yourself, cuff yourself, and turn yourself into the nearest branch of the Department of Homeland Security. The Constitution is now unconstitutional. So that's what I posted, and Occupy Wall Street like that. Somebody else posted on Occupy Wall Street, and it's good to discuss these primitive questions, and they only seem primitive to me because I've been vegan for 28 years, and I find it incredible that people continue to eat meat and dairy and fish and eggs now in 2011. Hard to believe. So one other posting, a woman says she only buys humane meat, humanely raised. Thanks a lot, HSUS, Inhumane Society of the United States, for pushing that traitorous to animals propaganda. So there's, not a whole lot of the natural guilt that would be there if you think the animals have been raised humanely, and of course they're not. And if you believe they are, please go to humanemyth.org. The woman posting there on Occupy Portland says she likes to look at it like the animals just have, one bad day. So because they've had the joy of life in prison and all sorts of torture performed on them, the animals only have one bad day. Well, I would argue that each day preceding that one bad day was a bad day. So I guess, grandma's getting a little old. She's not being very productive. Isn't it time for her to have that one bad day, huh? That one bad day happens to be murder. A poor cow, pig, or chicken is hoisted by a leg, a chain, hung upside down. Her throat is slashed, and she bleeds to death. Why prosecute any murders ever again, right? After all murder victims have pretty much had good lives until just that one bad day. We all have to die sometime, and with the human overpopulation now, maybe all humans should be allowed to live happy, humane lives, but then at the age of, 20 or 25, then it's time for your one bad day. And for all of these animals, they're still babies when they have their one bad day, when they get that, chain around their leg, and then people give me the argument on the Occupy Portland website that, it's the food chain. Huh? The food chain. Is that the chain around the leg? That's the food chain. So I also posted, food chain? Humans plant seeds in Mother Earth, add water and sunshine, and eat what grows. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds, beans. Get health and nutrition, vitamins, minerals, fiber, protein, phytonutrients, antioxidants. Fooled chain. Who has been yanking your chain, fooling you into believing that you are a flesh-eating, cow-breast-sucking, carnivorous animal, when in reality you are naturally repulsed by bloody, hairy, fecal-covered, decomposing cadavers, and your consumption of such corpse and bovine baby fluids has been proven anatomically incorrect by causing heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, obesity, osteoporosis, etc. Look at what happened to Paula Deen, the famous chef, or, I guess a chef, somebody who deals with cadaver, I guess should really be called a mortician. Paula Deen, among the diabetic now, look at all her recipes. Anyway, so I talked about that in my post. I also said that, food chain? You're eating cadavers and consuming bovine secretions. Environmentally incorrect by causing climate change, deforestation, resource depletion, soil erosion, water shortage, deforestation, habitat destruction, energy crises, and socially incorrect by causing world hunger, poverty, scarcity, violence, war, and the most massive massacre, suffering, and torture this planet has ever known, crying endless rivers of the blood of the innocent and the harmless, stabbed by the billions one by one. Food chain or food chain, which do you choose? You know, I mean, you're a good person who doesn't want to cause unnecessary suffering, and you know killing is wrong. Consuming meat, dairy, fish, and eggs is not necessary and not right. So please go vegan. Please stop eating animals and stop eating the cows, the pigs, the chickens, the dogs that are eaten in Asia, the horses. Horses? People eat horses? Yes. And today we are going to examine, we're going to make horse sense out of horse slaughter. A lot has been in the news about this lately. So coming up today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, we will talk to Barbie twin Shane Barbie. Also on the program, Chris Hyde from the Animal Welfare Institute, the only registered lobbyist on Capitol Hill engaged on the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act. Also coming up today, Amy Nelson in support of the Prevention Act. And Amy from a musical family, her father is Willie Nelson. He supports this act also. All of this coming up today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, which is listener supported. And we need your support. A tax deductible donation. We have to pay for the airtime. So please make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, please go now to goveganradio.com.
Meat cuts life short.
Here's an easy way to create more delicious, healthful, and affordable meals. Visit recipefactory.net, where you can analyze existing recipes or create new ones, customize to use or avoid specific ingredients, meet your dietary, aesthetic, and budget requirements, check complete protein, inflammation, and glycemic load, create food and meal substitutes, upload your recipe creations, and download others. Visit recipefactory.net. Create at recipefactory.net.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soup, salad, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9. Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798. VegetarianHouse.us.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Actually, this week, celebrating our 11th anniversary on the air, animal liberation, meaty infiltration, and major corporations like Clear Channel and CBS and Air America. How do we do it? Well, obviously, management and ownership have never listened to this show. So they're happy if we keep the checks coming, and we have to pay for the airtime. So you can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. You make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, hundreds of free archives at goveganradio.com. Who loves animals? We do. You know, we're here for them. Who loves horses? Well, today we make horse sense of horse slaughter. This is a show today so credible on the issue with such knowledgeable guests of major celebrity status even, that you will ask yourself, you'll say, wow, I thought I was listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. But you are, and here today we have the Barbie twins. Well, it's Shane Barbie, one of the Barbie twins, the blonde pop culture icons for animal liberation all over TV and magazines and, you know, from Fox to Howard Stern, and very concerned about horses. Also with us today, Chris Hyde of the Animal Welfare Institute. He is the one and only registered lobbyist on Capitol Hill for the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act. And, well, I guess since Sia Barbie wasn't able to make it today, Shane's good friend Amy Nelson will play the role as Barbie twin number two. Amy Nelson, very active on animal issues, to supporting the Animal Welfare Institute in this legislation, along with a very famous family member of hers, her father, Willie Nelson. So welcome, Shane and Chris. And
thank Amy. You.
How are you all doing?
Thank you. Yes, Amy is my triplet.
Or maybe Chris will play the role of Barbie too today. I don't know.
It's yet to be seen.
So I a few years ago seem to have reported on the closing of horse slaughter facilities in the United States. I was shocked that there were any, to begin with, there are horse slaughter facilities, and why would there be? And people actually eat horses, which is pretty shocking. It shocks me as much as hearing that they actually eat cows and pigs and chickens too. But so I thought, okay, they shut down the facilities. That's it, the end of it, happy ending. But I think there's more to the story, and that it actually didn't end problems for horses, and Obama just signed something, but what was that? Shane, Barbie, would you start us off here and give us a little background?
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're very privileged to have both of these guests. Amy herself has gone to D.C. to lobby for this bill. It's been going on for 10 years, and Animal Welfare Institute with Chris Hyde writing and walking this bill, being, that, like you said, the only registered lobbyist on this bill. There's a lot of myths on other people. But in any case, he's worked tirelessly, just so well on this bill, except that people are getting these ideas that this is not the answer, when it really is one-stop shopping. They think that by closing the slaughterhouses, which the last one in Illinois, I think, or Texas, Chris can say that, in 2006 or 2007, there were three slaughterhouses, one in Illinois, two in Texas. They started shipping them off to Mexico and Canada for a very horrific death. But
who are these horses, by the way?
Okay, these are, by the way, 80% of them are great horses. You know, there are some wild horses. There's 80% of them are in perfect health. But it's just people that discard them. And slaughter, I think, opens up not only the window for breeders, the quarter horse mostly, but it also allows people to be irresponsible. But the question here is not what are we going to do with them and which is more humane, because slaughter is not humane no matter what. But just as a horsewoman myself, as an instructor and where I raised horses and all that, is that horses don't trailer well. They just, you know, it doesn't matter if it's to Texas, Illinois, you can't get, especially wild horses. But we were always tranquilizing. These were trained horses. And the USDA only had one sloppy law of one stud per trailer, which they weren't even enforcing. But in any case, I just think that if you get behind this animal welfare bill, Animal Welfare Institute bill, it's one-stop shopping because it stops slaughter altogether and transport of live horses. And all anyone has to do, if you could be a stupid bimbo Barbie twin like me, all you have to do is call the White House, and you don't have to know anything except to say, who's my rep? They'll connect you there, and then say you're against, you know, the horse slaughter, and they'll write that down. You know, they'll write that down. But, I mean, for people that want to know and research, you can go to Animal Welfare Institute's site, of course. But it's, you know, it's in the Senate, it's 1176 in the House. It is H.R. 2966. And Chris will take over here because he's been working on this for 10 years.
Okay, first, I want to clarify that we thought the problem ended when the slaughterhouses closed, but what actually happened then was horses were transported to the borders to Mexico and Canada to be slaughtered, and as you said, I mean the transportation was added torture.
Well, yeah, I want to kind of go, you know, a lot of people are kind of coming to this issue right now, and even some groups coming to this issue right now. But not knowing the history of this bill, 10 years ago when we first drafted the bill, and to this day, the only goal of this whole campaign has been to stop the slaughter of horses here and stop the export of horses to Canada and Mexico. So when the U.S. plants closed, that was simply one of about, you know, seven or eight things that have taken place so far in the process. It was never meant to be the answer. It was simply, if you take away, you know, all of these kinds of things, to go after the industry, it makes the industry harder to operate. So everybody unfortunately has kind of come into this with the perception of, oh gosh, you've made it worse by their going to Mexico and Canada. But that's kind of showing the ignorance of the issue, is because the Canadian plants and the Mexican plants that these horses are going to are regulated just like plants here in the United States. They're EU-approved facilities, which meet the same requirements that we have, which, again, are abysmal. But they're really no different than the facilities that are here. So there's this kind of misperception that they're going off into this, you know, third world country where you're chasing them with stones and clubbing them to death. It's still the very similar process as it is here. Now, it is true you're adding, you know, 6 to 7 extra hours in a trailer. But again, my point with the cruelty, it's not any better to get clubbed in the back of the head than it is to be clubbed in the front of the head. It's all wrong. So that's why people have kind of come to this, you know, inaccurately blaming what recently happened, and I'll explain that for you, to the kind of the whole campaign. That's simply because they didn't know the whole history of what's been going on here. Now, what recently happened is in 2006, we got language into a federal agriculture appropriations bill that prevented USDA inspectors from being in horse slaughter facilities. So they, if without an inspector, you can't operate a slaughter facility. Now, anybody that knows and follows the humane, you know, slaughter laws in this country, which, again, are abysmal, we already know we don't have enough inspectors, and there aren't even inspectors in every slaughter facility as it is. So, you know, that's the government's kind of breaking its own laws in that process. But what we did, though, is it then shut these plants down. And that gave us the opportunity to go back to Congress and say, look, these plants aren't here. You know, now we need, there's no excuse to keep the industry alive. So it was working as very good pressure on Congress. Unfortunately, late last year, and for some reason, everybody's gone after President Obama on this. And that's just, again, it has nothing, it had really nothing to do with this issue at this point. It was several members of Congress, ironically Tea Party members of Congress, you know, supposedly fiscally conservative, went in and removed that language. They removed the prohibition on inspectors in slaughter facilities. And it was two people. It was a congressman, a Republican from Georgia, and it was a Democrat from Wisconsin who had complete control over this budget. And they just took the language out on their own without a vote, without debate, without anything. And it passed the Congress because there was, at that point, no opportunity to put it back in. Just that's how bills are done.
Language that did what? That was language that did what?
There was language, and it had been in there since 2006, that prohibited the federal government from spending money on putting inspectors in horse slaughter facilities. And without that, a horse slaughter facility couldn't operate.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that was one of the many things that we've been doing to kind of chip away at the horse slaughter industry. So for anybody to say, oh, gosh, it was so much worse in Mexico, let's bring it back here and regulate it, they're actually facilitating horse slaughter. Even if you claim to be against horse slaughter, saying you want to bring it back here actually helps the industry,
mm-hmm.
because then they can say, well, it is a viable industry in the United States. Look, the Congress is funding it. Let's bring it back here and regulate it, and let's deal with it then. That's kind of an ignorance of the issue. So that's kind of a quick glance of the whole thing. But again, the ultimate goal of what we're working on today and what we need to do now is pass the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act, which Shane talked about. And that's what we need everybody to call Congress, talk to your congressman, go to town hall meetings, and demand that this bill get passed immediately. That would close the borders, and that would prevent any plant from opening in the United States. That's the whole thing. That's one very simple bill that stops it all.
So it doesn't just stop slaughter, it stops the transportation.
Transport for the purpose
of
human consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And can I just say this for one? Even if you don't care about horses, you should care that your taxes is paying for profits overseas, as Chris Hyde taught me this. And we already voted in 1970 not to eat horse meat unanimously, in 1971 to protect the wild horses. So we're talking about the wild horses, but it just shows unanimously we don't want the horses are not bred for meat. They were bred for companionship, for riding.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. We have to take a break here, and then we will continue. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We are talking to Barbie twin Shane Barbie and also Chris Hyde from the Animal Welfare Institute about the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act. And coming up after the break, we will talk to Amy Nelson in support of this legislation also. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com.
I'm a vegan because we hurt animals.
Vegan cruise vacations? Yes, Holistic Holiday at Sea, chosen by National Geographic Traveler as one of the 100 best worldwide vacations to enrich your life. Holistic Holiday at Sea, a voyage to well-being, March 3rd through the 10th, 2012. You'll be cruising with a veritable who's who in holistic health and well-being. Dr. T. Colin Campbell, Dr. Neil Barnard, Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, Dr. Gabriel Cousins, Dr. Will Tuttle, and so many others, too many to mention. Visit atasteofhealth.org to see who's going, and you'll want to be there too on the Holistic Holiday at Sea, a voyage to well-being. Call 800-496-0989 or email info@atasteofhealth.org. Vegan organic cuisine on board as you cruise the Caribbean, departing from Fort Lauderdale Saturday, March 3rd. Visit St. Thomas, Puerto Rico, Nassau, the Bahamas. A Holistic Holiday at Sea, March 3rd through the 10th. Call 800-496-0989 or email info@atasteofhealth.org. Visit atasteofhealth.org for the Holistic Holiday at Sea. You'll love Loving Hut, the fastest growing chain of vegan restaurants ever, now with over 200 worldwide, the first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you, including three in San Francisco, Oak Ridge Mall in San Jose, and Elk Grove. You'll love Loving Hut. Visit lovinghut.us.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
Wild horses couldn't drag me away. Wild horses couldn't
All right, we continue now on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, listener-supported. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email bob at goveganradio.com. And remember, we really need your support to pay for airtime. This is grassroots animal rights activism, and today we are trying to help the horses with getting the word out about the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act, talking to Barbie twin Shane Barbie, along with Chris Hyde of the Animal Welfare Institute, who is the one and only lobbyist on Capitol Hill for this bill. And also on today's program, Amy Nelson, a musical performer, a very famous musical family. Her father, also an advocate for horses, Willie Nelson. And Amy, so how did you get interested in this legislation? And tell us a bit about the horses here. Again, we're talking about slaughtering horses. From where do these horses come? I mean, are they wild horses? Are they people's pet horses? What?
I mean, some of them are wild horses. Some of them are stolen horses. When we went up, my dad sent a bunch of us up there, a bunch of the family up, I believe in 04, for the Horses on the Hill event that Animal Welfare Institute put together in Washington. And we met so many people that that had so many different stories. One of them was a little girl who'd had her horse stolen on her birthday, and he got sold to slaughter. And, you know, the thing that's really frightening about it is that they don't, you know, the slaughter industry doesn't care where they get their horses from. You know, and ideally, they want young, healthy horses. They're not looking for the horses that are on their last couple weeks. You know, they want something to feed to, you know, unsuspecting people in other countries. And I think also a major point is that it's a toxic product that they are shipping across to these other people, and that have no idea of what they're eating. And, you know, they think it's American horse meat. They have no idea that, you know, these are horses that have been treated with fly sprays and wormers and all of these products that contain warnings on them, not for food animals.
Mm.
Also, there's a saying from the stable to the table in 7 days. Like, they kind of boast about it. So they're taking them from, like, the racetrack where they put all these carcinogenic substances into these horses, and then are before there's any kind of chance to get that out of their system, you know, they're slaughtering them and feeding them to people. So God knows what sort of health problems.
I think a lot of people listening right now are just shocked at the idea of eating horses, that there would be a slaughterhouse and people eat horses, and where does this horse meat go? Who's the intended victim here?
Well, let Chris Hyde do that, but can I interject here? Did you know that Willie Nelson adopted a bunch of horses that were going to slaughter, which I thought was so sweet of him?
Mm. He's got, like, about 70 now.
Oh, wow.
I think 66.
Yeah, me being an ex-trainer, I know that Amy is so right, that we use butazolin on horses all the time so they wouldn't go lame. And so that's in the horse meat. That's just, yeah, it's for vegans. That's just, it's all bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for people that, I guess it was, it, you know, it's advertised as healthier meat than cattle for some odd reason. And it really isn't. It's got more drugs in it than you can ever imagine.
Mm-hmm. And who's getting it? It's being shipped where?
But to Japan,
Belgium,
France,
and Asia.
Asia.
Mm. Asia, so Japan, France.
High-end restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Why do we love horses so much? Why, you know, I mean, people may not have had a...
this country. I mean, it's ridiculous that we have better laws for the flag than a horse that built this country. And also, we see them as companion animals. So even if people are not vegans, they still don't want to see pets on their plate.
Well, and horses are capable of so much, you know, even as far as just they're acting as therapists with riding therapy programs. They're, you know, they're incredible companions. They, you know, they've been loyal to humanity for all of their existence. They're huge creatures with the ability to pummel us, but they don't. They're so kind to us, and I think that anybody who's ever gotten to know a horse loves horses because,
mm-hmm,
you know, they're just they're.
Plus, they're one of the hardest animals to kill because their brain is so far back that it takes them 3 to 5 times. But I don't even like getting in that debate as an animal activist. It's just bad.
Well, I think it's a good point, too, to mention that this bill doesn't prevent someone from humanely euthanizing their animal, their horse. It's not.
As a matter of fact, this bill puts the
responsibility. It doesn't prevent them from shooting their horse. It just prevents them from, you know, selling the horse for humans.
But it puts the responsibility back onto the owner. It's with the slaughter open, just people just send them off, you know, to auction, and everybody had these windows open.
Mm-hmm. Is there a horse overpopulation? Are people saying, I mean, like, what do we do with all the horses if...
for God's sake. I mean, what a question to ask a breeder, huh? All we have to do is slaughter more, and then there's a bigger window for them. The more we slaughter, the more of an opportunity for a breeder. We have to cap it on both sides. It's just as much as I mean, Animal Welfare Institute advocates responsible breeding, you know, and you know, just ethical care and all of that stuff. It's not just, you know, it's a whole different issue, but Chris can talk about that. He also had Dr. Temple Grand call him, right?
Yeah, she's called, and that's, you know, it's been a kind of another, we've worked with her through our farm animal program for years, and, you know, and even she had the misperception saying, oh my gosh, this bill, that if you, pay, you know, you ban horse slaughter here, they're just going to go to Mexico. And it was like, Dr. Grandin, once again, I say read the bill. You know, the bill and our goal from day one has always been, you know, you need to ban it because horse slaughter has always been an export-driven industry. It's not consumed here. So they were simply gathering horses, and we know that from the perception overseas is they love American horses because of this myth that's built around, you know, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, is that America is a horse culture. You know, it's John Wayne in the West and cowboy boots and, you know, we won't mention past presidents and stuff from out there, but, you know, to get into this perception that they loved American horses because of this. But really slaughter, you know, Shane touched on it, has fed overbreeding because of these breeders. And again, there's this misperception. Some people go after the thoroughbred industry, and I'm not going to defend them. You know, they are a serious violator of abuse and overbreeding and breeding poor horses and a whole host of things, but when it goes to contributing to horse slaughter, the quarter horse industry is overwhelmingly the majority of contributors to horse slaughter because, again, it's the most abundant horse in this country. You know, so they're, if these breeders can realize that they can breed 40 or 50 or 60 horses, at, you know, through a season, get 3 horses, dump the rest into slaughter, and get some money back, it kind of perpetuates this. They realize they have a dumping ground. The Premarin industry used to be a big dumping ground in the horse slaughter, but we've seen, you know, that industry has not disappeared, but it's diminished over the last, you know, decade because of various studies showing that Premarin's more dangerous.
So horse slaughter encourages breeding, right? That's what...
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Because slaughter is a demand-driven industry. There's this perception, you know, the opponents love to run us around and say, oh gosh, now that you've banned slaughter, we've got 100,000 horses running down the street. Now, that goes to the root of this whole debate should start with that very question, is that first of all, we have not banned slaughter, and the saying is not a few more horses are now being slaughtered since the plants closed down in the United States. So, with that being true, with the fact that more horses are going to slaughter right now than they were when the plants were open, where is this abundance of horses running down the street, you know, knocking little baby carriages over, you know, that the opponents or the proponents of horse slaughter like to say? And they can't answer that. Unfortunately, the media in this country is just, you know, they just kind of abdicate any responsibility.
If they're not running down the street, though, Chris, are they running wild in the West and just, I mean, are they...
We've actually done, you know, calls and stuff and asked around and you know, we saw a news story about horses being abandoned. 40 horses were abandoned on a coal mine in Kentucky, a strip, you know, mine in Kentucky during the winter. We had people go out and investigate it. The state police went out and investigated. They looked. They found the horses. Yet at the beginning of the pasture, they found a big sign saying these horses belong to the riding stable. Turns out those horses are turned out every year during the winter to feed until the horse stable opens again in the spring. So those horses were not abandoned, but a reporter didn't want to do a good story on it. He just kind of went with the fact that they were abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've gotten stories of horses being abandoned in national parks. We call a national park, and they're like, we don't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have not seen wild cases of horses being abandoned.
No, but I thought that maybe they'd say, oh, the Wild West is overrun with horses, and the ranchers and all would be, you know, like, you know, they would be pushing for horse slaughter also, competing for land.
Yeah, the ranchers will always complain. Yeah, I mean, the ranchers will always complain. I mean, that's, you know, the ranching, the use of Western public lands by cattle ranchers is probably one of the biggest boondoggles left in this country. The federal government taxpayers are losing about $500 million a year to subsidize cattle ranching on public lands in the West. So, the wild horses are kind of caught up in that. But we have about as many wild horses now as we did when the Wild Horse Act was created in 1971, when Congress said rapidly disappearing. I'm going to paraphrase it, but basically that they're rapidly disappearing from the American West. And now here we are back at that same point. So there's very few wild horses roaming the West anymore. And sadly, we have more in holding facilities, more wild horses that are in captivity than we actually do in the wild.
Mm.
So, wild horses, you know, it's illegal to slaughter them, though some are slaughtered. But for the most part, it is illegal to openly slaughter a wild horse. So they should never be mixed with that big debate of slaughter.
Mm-hmm. So I know, Shane, the point that you wanted to make is that a lot of people are writing up petitions and doing all sorts of things.
They're doing everything but just calling up and getting this bill passed. It's 10 years of this. It's very simple. Here is a solution that is within our power. And I don't understand why people are not just focusing on this. It's a very simple one. It's taken 10 years. It's a one-stop shopping. And most people are shocked they don't even know that this is like a dirty little secret.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, can I also stress that horses, the wild horses, unlike the cows, eat the root of the grass. So they have stopped major fires. They have their little place. They've been here, I think, before the Ice Age. So they're not feral. That's just a convenient way. When we voted that in 1971 for the wild horses to be protected, and the federal agency BLM was supposed to manage them. They manage them by this reckless, they don't even know how to take care of them. They do a knot around the neck. They don't even do a slip knot, so the horses are just getting hurt, dying on the way, and these pens are dying. It's just like our taxes is also paying for that because it's a conflict of interest. These guys are cattlemen that want to, they just want to cater to the cattle industry.
So they round up the horses and then confine them.
Oh, yeah, and scare them off the cliffs. But we got to really see that this is profit in the disguise of compassion. Give me a break when they're trying to think about the abandoned horses and stuff. That's not even on their agenda. They don't care. They're pretending to look compassionate.
Speaking of disguise, I think we forgot to mention the killer buyers, the secret killer buyers that are tricking people into giving up their horses and saying things like they're going to camps. And, you know, there's actually people who will take horses and, you know, acquire them any way that they can and bank on the fact that they're going to be able to get rid of them soon and before they have to feed them. So there's, you know, it's contributed to all sorts of mistreatment of horses everywhere at the hands of these killer buyers.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, yeah, we're going to go back to touch on that issue, going to go back to that, is that when California banned horse slaughter in 1998 by a ballot initiative, and for many years it was the largest ballot initiative in California, we saw a dramatic drop, over 35% of theft in California horses once you got slaughtered, because, again, horses aren't bred or raised or anything for this, so these guys were killer buyers, as Amy mentioned, go out and get them any way they can. They'll steal them right off of a pasture. We've had, you know, created good homes like the puppy mills and the Class B breeders and dealers. You know, they go free to a good home, kind of ads, and we'll take your horse and then immediately turn around and send them to slaughter. So the horse slaughter industry and those advocating it, now I should clarify, there are other lobbyists on horse slaughter. They're for horse slaughter, though. That's the difference. They have a former congressman from Texas, Charlie Stenholm, who is a lobbyist for the slaughterhouse industry. And a couple of former staffers that are lobbyists. So the slaughter industry,
So the slaughter industry is lobbying for slaughter, and you, Chris Hyde, with the Animal Welfare Institute, are lobbying for the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act. We have maybe a minute or so left, so, I mean, let me, if everybody...
Well, he's the only registered one, by the way. You didn't say that.
Okay,
registered lobbyists on this bill.
Okay. So everybody, maybe 30 seconds each to get to anything we might have missed, or...
I can think of one thing, and that is something that I had heard about when slaughter was happening in the U.S. and we were able to get the tax records on, I believe it was the Kaufman plant, and they had only paid $5 on federal taxes.
Yeah, $5 in federal income.
So that was $5 more than ExxonMobil, I guess, right?
So, I mean, just as far as the economy goes, you know, it is not good for our economy to create slaughter facilities in the United States again. Mm-hmm.
And again, what you're saying is that this prevents the slaughter and the transportation,
yes.
All of our concerns.
One-stop shopping. Just call up everybody. Call up the White House switchboard. Ask for your rep. Say you're pro-AHSPA, American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act, which is, you know, Senate 1176, House H.R. 2966. But they'll just take, if you just say you're anti-slaughter, they will write that down. Please,
and
everybody do
can
that.
Can they go to Animal Welfare Institute's website and see that? Maybe
we have a thing right
online?
On our webpage at awionline.org, and it gives you links to your congressman. You can send an email. You can find out about a town hall meeting.
And how quickly does this have to happen? I mean, what's the time frame for making it happen?
It has to happen immediately, because this is an election year. So obviously, we already see the Congress is not doing anything, but the few things they do are bad. This is an election year, so they are already talking about leaving Congress very early towards the end of this year. And at the end of this year, the bill dies again, and they have to start all over next year. So it's urgent. It's urgent to get out. And that's been one of my biggest complaints about the animal movement. We brag about being millions of people, but we don't vote as if we're like six people at a potluck dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get out and vote. We need to elect officials and put officials in office that are animal friendly. And those can be Republican and Democrat, because we have had some very good on both sides. But you need to get out and you need to make sure animal issues are a priority, and that horse slaughter is the number one priority right now that we've got to end. And, you know, your congressman and legislator should support it, or they should go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess because it is an election year, who wants to look like you don't love horses, right? So maybe it's in our favor.
Absolutely. They want your vote. So they want to hear what you want. So this is the time that we have the power.
So if we love horses, we make it known. So, okay, I want to thank you for being on, Shane Barbee and Chris Hyde and Amy Nelson. Thank you so much for expressing your love for horses, and let's help them out with this.
Thank you.
All right, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
Dolly can paint. Now you've decided to show me the same.
Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro in Portland is so popular, it's had to expand its seating. Find out for yourself why Sweet Lemon rates such rave reviews for its 100% vegan, Asian, and American fusion creative cuisine. Some dishes found nowhere else. See the menu at sweetlemonveggiebistro.com. Catering trays, vegan cakes, and delivery are available. Sweet Lemon in the Bethany Village Center. 4888 Northwest Bethany Boulevard. Call 503-617-1419. Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. If you missed any of our discussion about horse slaughter and the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act today with Shane Barbie of the Barbie Twins and Amy Nelson of the Nelson family, Willie Nelson's daughter, and Chris Hyde of the Animal Welfare Institute, the only registered lobbyist on Capitol Hill related to the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act. Well, our programs are archived at goveganradio.com, where you can make a tax-deductible donation. We need your help to keep going and keep growing on the air. We pay for airtime. Donate online at goveganradio.com or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. You can also advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me. It's Bob at goveganradio.com. Thanks to Dennis Stovall for audio production. You can be my friend on Facebook. Look for me as Bob Linden, and you know, I'm going to clear up all my socialist networking. I'm trying to consolidate pages, and you know, I'm all over the place there. There are two Bob Linden pages, one where I have an Animal Lib t-shirt on, and one where I'm surrounded by animals. Join me on both of them, and we'll straighten this all out sometime in the near future. For vegan events in the San Francisco Bay Area, go to the website of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, sfvs.org. And in the Portland area, check out Northwest Veg. Also, tryveganpdx.com. I know a lot of people who are reading the Occupy Portland Facebook page are probably very interested in going vegan now. So please do that. I do, you know, want to introduce this new information to you. People who think that we are meat eaters as part of the food chain, I suggest that you Google Dr. Milton Mills and his comparative anatomical study of carnivores and herbivores. You will conclude that you are an herbivore. And related to global warming, I really suggest that you check out the wonderful study from Jeff Anhang and Robert Goodland from the World Watch Institute entitled Livestock and Climate Change: What If the Key Factors in Climate Change Are Cows, Pigs, and Chickens? And consider this, that livestock and byproducts account for at least 32,564 million tons of CO2 per year, 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions because of the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death. Okay, I want to thank you for listening. I certainly appreciate it. Please help us out with a tax-deductible donation. Love animals, don't eat them, and please visit the website, goveganradio.com. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature. on 960 KNEW. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday at 3 p.m. Who's on your plate? An innocent cow, pig, chicken? A dog? Well, dogs are common food in Asia. How about a horse? Does horse meat sound appetizing? Are American horses winding up on people's plates? This Sunday at 3 p.m., Horse Sense About Horse Slaughter. We will talk to Chris Hyde of the Animal Welfare Institute. He's the only registered lobbyist on Capitol Hill associated with the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act. Also joining us on this issue will be Shane Barbie of the Barbie Twins and Amy Nelson of the Nelson family. She's Willie Nelson's daughter. For more information about vegan events in the Bay Area, do visit the website of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. That is sfvs.org. And please be my friend on Facebook, where you find me as Bob Linden. Bob Linden. Occupy Wall Street liked one of my posts. I'll talk about it this week, this Sunday at 3 p.m. on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden is made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House, international world-class vegan organic cuisine in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street. Visit vegetarianhouse.us. And by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants with over 200 worldwide. The first one in North America is in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane in Palo Alto, 165 University Avenue. Visit lovinghut.us for the Bay Area location near you, including San Francisco, San Jose, and Elk Grove. If you're looking for recipes that are vegan and healthy, well, you're not going to go to Paula Deen, are you, now that it's announced that she has diabetes? What you want to do is go to recipefactory.net, recipefactory.net. And for vegan dog food and vegan cat food, visit ecodogsandcats.com. We need your financial support to stay on the air. We purchase airtime every week. We need your help to keep going and keep growing. So please make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. It's tax deductible. P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. For archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com.